Thank you, Steve. Good morning, everyone. We're glad to see you this morning. Certainly good to have visitors with us today, even visitors that have flown many miles. Hi, Steve. To be here with us today. We appreciate you so very much. It's always a joy to see you, and I pray that as we study the Word of the Lord, good will be accomplished to the glory of our God. Now, you know I've got two special people here in this congregation, Colby Gooch and Nanette Taylor. They're kind of special to me, and the reason why, and not only that reason, but they were born on my birthday yesterday. So, I'm glad to see them and always glad to know that there are other people, good people, born on June the 24th. Glad to be with you. God is so good to us. You know, I remember, I've been doing a lot of study about some of these old sermons that I preached years ago. Colby, now I think you were 23 yesterday, son. But anyway, I started out preaching about that age. And I tell you what, back in those days, we had green boards, black boards. And I want you to know, I can tell you right here today, I used to write all over that board, and I'd erase it, and I'd write more on that board. Then we had these big sheets. Stuart, you remember people preaching from sheets? Boy, I used to labor during the week to make mine so pretty. You get in the middle of the sheet, then you mess up on a letter. Buzz, what in the world are you going to do? Well, you try to make something you can tape over it or something because you've spent already so much time doing all that things on sheets. I've got some of them. You're going to see them. I'll bring them and let you see them. Boy, then we really graduated. We got those things, those machines, you know. You can put it on plastics. You put that thing on there and that blow up. Oh, that was so impressive. I mean, we were really climbing. We were doing pretty good. Can you believe now we've got this? It's called the PowerPoint. And I've lived through all of those different periods of time. I've really been thinking, I might do this sometime, maybe if the elders don't mind, bring maybe a collection because I'm one of these clutterers. I keep a whole lot of stuff. And I've got a lot of those things. And maybe put it up in the front and try to go from using the blackboard then over to the sheet, etc., in one sermon. I don't know if I can do it or not, but anyway. What I've been doing is looking back and asking myself, did I preach the truth back then? Did those sermons that I wrote on the blackboard, were those sermons right? And those things that I labored with on those sheets, were they right? I want to be right. I look at that, and there was a sermon that I caught my eyes on. I don't want to talk about it for a little while this morning. And it's about worshiping God. John 4:23-24, we're told how we are to worship, why we are to worship, who we are to worship, and what a joy it is to be able to worship. And there's a sermon outline that's called The Church of Christ is Unique. That word unique means not to be compared to. Rare. None equal to it. And what we were preaching then was simply saying, this is what the Bible says about the church that belongs to Christ. Were we right? Well, in Ephesians 1, the latter part of what Tim read to us this morning, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him up from the dead and set him on the right hand in the heavenly places in the church of the Lord, far above all principalities and power and mind and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet. Folks, has that changed? God said that he put everything under the feet of Jesus, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. I understand that to mean this, am I right? That everything the church says and does has to be by the authority of the one who is over it. Their foundation. Jesus said, not everyone of you that saith, or rather not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, is that still true? Surely it is. There's indisputable facts. You read in the Bible, God is alive. Acts 17:24. Jesus is God's Son. Matthew 17:1-5. God's given us His Word as the guide for us to live by, to worship by, to please Him in all things. 2 Peter 1:3. The Scriptures still contain all the truth. Jude 3. John 8:30. God's truth does not change. 2 John 9. Now I went back and I looked. And I want you to look. Are we doing anything wrong? Have we preached anything that's wrong? If so, we need to be shown. And when people began to go and seek to find something that's different, where do they give authority for it? What does the Bible say? Were we old preachers just preaching something that was not substantiated by the Word of God? Why, when the Word of the Lord teaches us that we ought to be courageous, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. 1 Corinthians 16:13. God's ways are not my ways and your ways, Isaiah 55:8-9. And Jesus said, you'll hear me say, depart from me, every one of you who work iniquity. Matthew 7:21-24. The church is God's people. Same today it's always been. We must speak where God speaks. We must remain silent where God is silent. We must do Bible things according to the Bible and never alter, change, or add to or subtract from the Word of God. That's the Word that we're going by. Now, I'm going to go by hastily on these things, but we'll go back and look at them. In these old sermon outlines, the Church of Christ is unique. Church, what is it all about? The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 2:5, 1 Corinthians 12:13, and Matthew 16, Jesus up on this rock, I will build my church. All right? God purposed the church from eternity, Ephesians 3:8-11. Daniel 2:44. God's going to set up His kingdom and never shall be destroyed. Whose kingdom is it? It's the kingdom of God. Jesus is the builder. He's the head of it. He's the Savior of it. Matthew 16:18, Galatians 1:18. And Ephesians 1:22-23. Not only is that true, the church still wears the name of He who is the bridegroom. When I looked, I found that the church is the bride. Jesus is the bridegroom. John 3:39, Romans 7:4, Romans 16:16. And guess what the bride does? Where's the name of the bridegroom? And I didn't find any changes in my Bible when I was searching this last week to present this lesson to you, because it still says that He is the bridegroom of the bride. Not only is that true, the church is governed by the divine authority of Jesus Christ. There's no set of men today that can set out any law that is not found from He who is giver of the law. Matthew 28:18-20, John 14:26, 1 Peter 4:11. And the Bible says the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. I can remember when I was 45 years old going off in gospel meetings, and I would teach and I would talk about 1 Timothy 3:15, thou mayest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. I ask you this morning, did we make a mistake when we added that to our outline? Is Jesus Christ still the pillar and the ground of the truth in His kingdom, the church? Romans 1:16, Galatians 1:8-9, Romans 6:3-5. And worship, is it changed? Do we need to change it today? Do we need to hang us up a guitar, put right up here on this thing? And when I get through preaching, get somebody to come out of the audience, come up here and get the guitar, string on the guitar, maybe have a whole band up here. When I used to preach, and still preach. And if I'm wrong, you show me that the Bible says you speak for the Bible speaks. And the Bible tells us that scriptural worship involves worshiping according to God's law. Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, and making melody in the heart unto the Lord. Somebody says, but it doesn't say not to do it. Not a book that tells you cannot do this, you cannot do that. When God specifies what He wants, that's it. When God told Naaman to go down and dip himself, as He told him to the prophet, dip himself 7 times in the River Jordan. He didn't say, now don't go over here, don't do this, don't do that. God told him what to do. What was Naaman to do? He never was cleansed until he went down and dipped himself 7 times. And on the 7th time when he came up, he was cleansed. Why? Because he was told what to do, and he did exactly what God told him to do. And friend, let me tell you, though some churches of Christ today wear that name and are using instruments of music and worship, some churches of Christ today are allowing women to get up, young women who preach today from their pulpits, the Bible still is clear. Worship that is acceptable, work that is acceptable to God, got to be authorized by the Word of the Lord. Yes, the work is appointed by God. Remember what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. He said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. What does that mean? That he may be supplied with everything that God wants him to do. If you want to know what you're supposed to do in worship, go to the Word of the Lord. Find out what work God wants the church to do. Do what God says. And when He doesn't speak on it, don't you speak on it. I've preached that for years. I've heard Brother Evans. I've heard Robert Jackson. I've heard men who loved the Lord that gave their lives in the preaching of the gospel tried to get people to go back and just listen to what God says. Because the church of Christ is unique. It's unique because it belongs to the Lord. And we know the destiny of those who are children of God. What a wonderful thing it is to read in 1 Peter 3, verse 15, verse 5, where Peter tells us about what God's going to do with us who are children of God. We're living stones. We're in the house of God. And we're going to be able to live with the Lord forever. When Paul was writing to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 through 17, he's telling them, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Yes, you've buried your loved ones. Yes, you will be buried. But if you're a child of God, God's going to do something. He's going to raise you up. Jesus is coming again. And who's going to go with Him into heaven? Those who are His children, who have listened to Him, who certainly have obeyed the gospel. There are brethren today telling us, I mentioned this in class, you don't have to be baptized. Baptism is not essential to salvation. I never have preached that. I don't remember a single gospel preacher that I love and respected who ever said that. Yet there are brethren today saying, that's something that is archaic. That's something that's not in the Bible. Let me tell you, it's in the Bible where Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. I believe Him, don't you? And those points that we've made there, to me, I can't change them. I still found every one of them to be right. If you found where they are wrong, tell me. Show me. I want to go to heaven. I can't go to heaven if I don't preach exactly what the Word of the Lord says. Listen to what again He says. He says that He had put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things of the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. The church of Christ is the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. It speaks and does everything that He who is over it commands it to do, and will not, cannot, must not do anything that they do, but we do not have the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? Paul answers that because he said he always spoke the same thing to all the churches, and he taught the same thing to them all. It's interesting to read these words, "I am ready." Almost with Paul, you could see when after he was told that you are to go into Damascus and be told you what to do, he said, "Lord, what will you have me to do? I'm ready. I want to do now what you want me to do." And he said, "You go into Damascus and be told what to do." Guess what? One of the very first things that Ananias told him to do, what was it? In Acts 22, verse 16, he said, "And now, why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, wash away your sins." Can you imagine Saul saying, "Lord, I'm not going to do that. That just doesn't fit with my opinion. Lord, you know that's not going to do me any good." My friend, the Church of Christ is unique because we tell you what the Bible says, not what we tell you, but rather what the Lord tells us. And Jesus said, "Here is what I want you to do." Why will anybody refuse to do what the Lord tells them? Saul certainly didn't. In Acts 9, verse 18, I want to show you, and I hope you'll remember this. The Bible says that he immediately, he didn't say next week when it's convenient, "Hey, call the preacher and tell him we'll set up a time for me to be baptized." Friend, when he was told what to do, he didn't wait. And the Bible says in Acts 9, verse 18, he immediately arose and was baptized. Why? He wanted to be a member of the church that is unique, the church that belongs to Jesus Christ. And he would say, "I'm ready now to serve," Acts 9, verse. "I'm ready to preach and to serve," Romans 1, 15. "I'm ready now to suffer," Acts 21, verse 13. "I'm ready to do all the unpleasant work God wants me to do," 2 Corinthians 10, verse 6. And then he could say, "I'm ready to die." And he was. And you know why? Because he knew what God wanted him to do, he had done it. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." One of the most beautiful thoughts in the book of 1 Corinthians is found right there before you. Now then, we have said all of this about the church of Christ that is unique. Do all churches of Christ do the same thing? Speak the same thing? Teach the same thing? The answer's got to be what? The answer's got to be, if they're faithful to the Lord, they will. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4:17. "For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ." And underline it. Put it in your Bible. What did he say? "As I teach everywhere, in every church." You mean Corinth didn't have a different teaching from those at Ephesus, or at Berea, or Athens? What did he say? "I preach the same thing." Friend, you ought to be going anywhere in the country and in the world today. And if there's a sign that says, "O'Neill Church of Christ, Athens Church of Christ, Berea Church of Christ," then you walk in the door. And every single thing that is done by those people would be the same. when the preacher gets up to preach? What will he preach? Exactly what God says for him to preach. Now, is that what we find today? All New Testament churches to be taught. Same thing. The church of Christ is unique. No wonder God tells us, if it's the Lord's church, we ask, are all preachers willing to speak what the Lord proclaims? I tell you what, when you get older and you realize your days are numbered and you're going to meet the Master and you look back over your life, you think about all the people that you preached to, and that's a joy so many times. I remember when I was at Weatherly, preached there for 18 and a half years. I'd come to O'Neill when we were in the old building. And I may have preached a sermon identical to what I preached this morning. And it was just a joy. Brother Fred Evans would be so sweet and kind. Encouraged me in the preaching. Others, Brother Doug Matlock. Remember people that loved the Lord, loved you, cared for you. I want to tell you, my friend, when you go back and you realize you've followed, you've traveled, and you've traveled many miles, you be sure the last mile of the way that you take is still the way of the Lord. And I'll be honest with you this morning. If I had found one single thing that I've been preaching that I feel that was not right, not saying I'm perfect, I'm just simply saying I know what I would do. I would confess to God, ask God to forgive me, and then seek to preach what is true. Do you remember Brother A.C. Grider? He debated. We used to have him there for gospel meetings, old Brother Grider. We enjoyed his tales. Do you remember Granville Tyler? I never will forget about Brother Grider. Brother Grider, he was in debate one time, and I was sitting out there and listening to him, and I never will forget, one of the debaters looked over and said, "Grider, look up here. Well, you change every time the moon changes." And the other fellow said, "Well, I've preached for 39 years, and I've never changed on anything. But I'm going to tell you what, I've changed on a lot of things. Because whenever you're preaching something that's not right, you change, don't you?" And Brother Grider just looked up and said, "I'll change every time the moon changes if I find that I was wrong when you show me that I'm wrong." Let me tell you something, friends. It's going to be our time to meet the Lord. Are you ready to meet Him? Why would anybody turn away from the church of Christ that is unique, that you can read about in the Bible? You know it's there. Why would you turn and involve yourself in worship or work that you can't give a scripture for? Perhaps, maybe one of the things, Brother Baxter, Barrett Baxter, I never will forget when he said in to the people at one time, he said that there really isn't a pattern for a lot of things. Well, everything the Lord wants us to do, there is a pattern. God's given it to us, and we must keep that way. One of the greatest things that's challenging the church at O'Neill, I think one of the greatest things that's challenging the church country is simply, do we want to please God or do we want to please man? You may believe something to be right, but will you be willing to stand for that which is right? We must, if we hope to please the Lord. No wonder then, in 1 Corinthians 6:13, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men, be strong." Don't ever turn away. Don't add to, don't take away from the Word of the Lord. God's Word is still the same. And my friend, His Word will be the means of you and I being judged thereby. Jesus makes it so clear. John 12, verse 48, He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The words that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Is this the truth? The Church of Christ is unique. Because the truth makes us free, and that's what we are to preach. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, won't you obey the gospel? Because that's what God tells you to do. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. If you're a child of God this morning, you haven't lived right, you know where you're going. God knows where you're going. But my friend, you can change it. You can change directions. You can admit that you're wrong. You can make your life right with God, and you do that this morning. And be ready to meet the Lord when He calls you home. If we can help you in any way, won't you come and obey Him while together we stand and while we sing.